This is a demonstration for freedom site. That's what this is all about. It's about living free and then sharing with the world how logical and easy it is. It's the only logical choice. You know, Bill Mollison said, though the problems of our world are increasingly complex, the solutions remain embarrassingly simple.
Yeah.
We're demonstrating the solutions so people do the same thing. Because when we achieve mass adoption of a freedom mindset in our hearts and in our minds and using our land without poisons to do what it should do, and that's take care of us, well, then we're free.
Welcome back to another episode, everyone. I'm your host, Alex Corey, and we have a really special one for you today. I am down just south of Orlando, Florida, in Galt's Landing. We are at the headquarters for Food Forest Abundance. I've known of Jim Gale since summer of 2022. It's now January of 2023, and I was invited down here halfway on a family road trip between Savannah and Miami, and this place is absolutely gorgeous. Jim is basically building from scratch on 50 acres, the prototype for food sovereignty and a new model of freedom, and actually for education and society at large, hoping to duplicate what they're building here. Obviously, the food forest is behind me, and we're gonna sit down with Jim and get his story and his ignition and how he got inspired to do permaculture and utilize and put in place those principles to build his own version of paradise here in St. Cloud, Florida, and to start cultivating sovereignty, resilience, decentralization, all the things that I'm passionate about as well. So we're gonna sit down, get his story, and then we'll give you guys a tour around Food Forest Abundance. I'm gonna try to get out of the way because it is an active construction zone and work area, so the crew is starting to come around, check on water levels, but as is permaculture style, everything tends to maintain itself. I really hope you enjoy this conversation with Jim Gale of Food Forest Abundance. We are down in St. Cloud, right outside of Orlando at Food Forest Abundance. I first learned about Jim Gale at Alpha Vedic. So it was probably last summer or last fall. And it was right when I was getting reinvigorated about growing food again. Because most people go through waves, and I learned how to grow in Hawaii maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And then I think it was A Winning Model for Abundance was the name of it.
Cool.
And you're one of those people that just ignites the fire again. You have that
awesome
lust for growing that rekindled my passion. Thanks for doing this.
Oh, man. It's a pleasure.
Could you do a little background on yourself for people who don't know who you are, what you did before you started growing, and what lit that fuse under you for growing?
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh.
Well, so I grew up in Minnesota. My mom actually was a farm girl. She was a war orphan from World War II. And she was sent over to the United States when she was six from Germany. And she ended up at my grandpa and grandma's house. And she grew up with no running water, no electricity in Minnesota till she was 15 years old. And they grew all of the food that they ate and consumed in their house. And when I was a little kid, we would go visit grandma and grandpa. And those were my favorite weekends of the year. I'd be out in the cornfields and playing with the chickens and doing all that farm boy stuff. And I just fell in love with it. In fact, they called me Nature Boy growing up. I just always was very passionate about nature, and I love being outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just feeds the soul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really does.
Minnesota's really cold.
Yeah, Minnesota's incredibly cold. It's a great place to grow up. It's not, I don't want to live there anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
New Hampshire, same.
Right?
Same
right.
Climate,
it's like you learn something growing up in these climates. You know, this thing where I lived in Costa Rica for 12 years. And in Costa Rica, time is a very different thing. They don't have, like the word mañana doesn't mean tomorrow. It just means not today.
Right.
When they said they'll do it mañana, that's usually not the case. So when in Minnesota, there's the harvest season, if you don't get your harvest in, historically speaking, then you starve to death.
Right.
So people have time, they understand time different in Minnesota. Time is kind of an obsession, and it was for me for a long time, until more recently when I let time go as one of my primary motivators in life.
Whenever I learned how to farm on Hawaii in my early 20s, noticed that pretty quickly, like within 3 months, yeah. time disappears because yeah. there's no seasons. There's no rush yeah. to do anything other than it's going to get blistering hot.
Yeah.
But then the dragon fruit comes. There are cycles within that trade wind atmosphere as well, but
yeah.
not the crushing deadlines that cold season.
Right, have. Right, yeah. right. When the snow hits,
yeah.
you're done growing.
People
for the
have
most
a
part.
Fire from New England. That's the yeah. traditional thing. If you yeah. want something done, get something from New England because yeah. you always have winter is coming yeah. nailed into you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep,
it starts sure. in like July and August when you start thinking yeah. about wood. It's obnoxious. Yeah.
And another thing about the folks in cold climates is they're big time in supporting and helping each yes. other. You know, it's true all over the world, but I've especially seen in cold climates when there's a big snow, yep. there's a bunch of people out there shoveling other people's driveways and plowing. And it's a beautiful time for people to come together.
Yes. Yeah, yeah there's a shared suffering almost.
Right?
Yeah,
right.
Suffering's
right.
A weird
and they make it fun. They yes. make the suffering
well,
kind of joyful.
Everyone's in it together. Look
That's
like
true.
The snow doesn't move itself.
Right.
So yeah,
right.
it has to get done. Right. Like it won't melt in 3 days here. So I live in North Carolina right now and everyone freaks out when it snows, but it'll probably be gone in 3 days.
Yeah.
So no one really cares.
Right, yeah, right,
but,
right.
But there's a different scenario whenever you're under 5 feet of snow. It yeah. has to go.
Yep.
Okay, so you're in Costa Rica. And then how did you find this gorgeous piece of land?
Well, it was an amazing situation. I grew up on a lake and I've been a passionate fisherman all my life. And Brian is a pilot for JetBlue. Wow. And so Brian and I wanted to find, and our families wanted to find land with certain criteria. He wanted a runway. He wanted to be within an hour of Orlando International because that's his headquarters for JetBlue. And we both wanted a lake and we wanted privacy, you know, to some degree. So I came in this area and I started reaching out to all of the developers and realtors and different people in this area. And I said, this is what we're looking for. And I literally got most people just shook their heads and said, that doesn't exist. It's not possible. There's nothing like that is around unless you go maybe 2 or 3 hours outside into the boonies. And then I got a call 2 weeks later from Bob Whidden and he said, Jim, I can't believe it, but we found what seems to be exactly what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Oh, a little over 50 acres on a private 430 acre lake. We've got the only dock on the lake, completely surrounded by nature with almost a mile long paved runway right there.
Yeah. You couldn't have built this better.
Yeah. It's just,
this is pristine.
It's yeah. pristine.
For everyone who is getting tired of listening to the, we'll show you in about 10 minutes. So hold on. We're going to do
a tractor
walk-a-tour.
In the background.
Yeah, we'll yes. have your, I didn't think there was going to be this much already built when I came down because I probably had seen snippets
yeah.
and I'm friends with Aaron Esser and a couple people who yeah. have come down and are involved in Food Forest Abundance and Freedom Farm Academy and everything you're building. But this is a thriving ecosystem. There's cows that yeah. you have everything already and yeah. it's just scaling and getting yes. more food and
yes.
Yeah.
And people always ask me, when will you be done? And I laugh.
Yeah,
right. I'll never be done because it's too much fun. This is so much fun to support life in this way. You know, we're building something that when life comes around here, it's going to stay here because it's the best place to live. We've already got over 220 different types of food growing in the ground. And, you know, and I also like to share, I don't grow food. I create the environment using the permaculture principles, which is exactly like saying nature's design or God's design, mimicking what works in natural systems, building soil, and then I give the food a home. Mm-hmm. I give the fruit trees and the bushes and all the different things a home, and then it grows itself and provides forever,
yeah.
and infinitely.
I can tell that you've done a ton of work on the soil, which yeah. is where the work should be done, like you said. Just take care of the ecosystem, take care of the foundation, and life happens.
Right.
Yep.
And 10 months ago, there was nothing there but sand.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's dramatically different. And I'm curious, I'll have to find out before I leave. You have a number of different solar arrays.
Yeah.
What's the goal with the solar?
Well, we are completely off-grid.
Are you? Okay.
I mean off-grid on every level. We do not have anything to do with any permits, any taxes, any government, any mind control, any of that BS. We are simply here demonstrating freedom on every level. And so therefore, we don't want a part of any centralized systems.
Yep. No contracts. All yourself.
All voluntary, and it's all ourselves.
Wow. Okay. I think I cut you off on your initial story. We went from Minnesota, and then I went to Hawaii, but how did you get from Minnesota to learn about growing food?
Permaculture and stuff. So I moved to Hawaii for 4 years, and then I backpacked around the world, lived with the Maasai and all over. Wow. And then I was looking for a new job because I was in the bar business from 25 to 29. Fantastic time of my life. Prince even came to my little hole in the wall bar 2 New Year's in a row.
That's cool.
To listen to Willie Kay play, which was just fantastic. And then I was looking for something new. So I traveled and I wrote my goals. And when I got back to Minnesota, my intention was to spread emotional intelligence. And I wanted to also make money because I was dead broke, right? When you're broke, the first thing you want to do is make money, right? So I had these incredible goals, and I told my friends, there's these guys that lived with Pete and Rob. We were renting a little three-bedroom place, you know, for like $400 a month each, and we had our own little place. It was great. And I told them my goals. I said, my goal is to be retired in 3-4 years. And I'm going to do this, this, and this. And they literally laughed at me. Pete actually got angry. Like, his response, my buddy Rob, who I'm still great friends with, always have been, he just said, Jim, you're crazy. My buddy Pete got angry. And this is relevant in today's world because a lot of people have goals and visions, and we share them with our friends and family. And our friends and family will beat us up and say, oh, you can't do that. Bullshit. That's their belief system.
Right?
It's all BS. So whatever you can conceive and believe, you can achieve, right? That was deducted from Napoleon Hill, who studied the most successful people in the history of the world. It's also biblical. It's also spiritual. Whatever the mind, whatever your mind can conceive and believe, it can achieve. And I've been studying Napoleon Hill and all of these great teachers.
Thinking Grow Rich?
Yes. Yep. And Outwitting the Devil. He had some incredible books. And so I wrote my goals. I got home. I started talking about it. Thought, word, deed. I thought about it. I talked about it. And all of a sudden, I'm at this bar, Williams Pub. And this guy, Jason, who knew me from Mankato Wrestling, he said, Jim, why don't you come over to my mortgage company and you can be a loan officer? I'm like, that sounds great. You know, there's no pay. It was all commission-based. But I liked that right from the start. And I said, okay, I'll come up. So I showed up at his place. Worked there for a few months, and he couldn't get any deals closed. It was very interesting because he's a great guy, just he didn't have any processing. Then I went to another place, this guy Jeff, I won't say his last name. He could get everything closed because he did things completely unethically. Within 3 months, I learned that he was a criminal. He ended up spending many years in jail. So I left his company, and then I went to another place, and I learned how to do it right. So every step of the way was a learning experience. And then 11 months in, I started my own company because I wanted to do it my way. I wanted to do it different than I was being taught. And then 3.5 years later, we did $1.3 billion in gross revenue. I sold the company, bought a boat, and lived on the ocean for a year.
Yep, that's what you do.
And then I was looking for the next adventure, and somebody says, have you ever thought about going to Costa Rica? And I had been there on a visit, and I loved it. And instantly, and that's how my mind works. When I hear something, it's something that happens instantly where I know that's the next thing. So I moved to Costa Rica. I lived there for 12 years, met my wife, and had just a beautiful, for the most part, in fact, the country, the people, everything was beautiful except for one thing. Governmente. The governmente of Costa Rica is criminal from top to bottom. And they extorted money from us. We were doing really well. It was just a crazy. We won in court every round. They owe us, according to a court-appointed actuary, they owe us $28 million.
Wow.
for a long time now.
Yeah.
I'm not holding my breath.
Right, I was going to say good luck.
Right, exactly. But everything else about Costa Rica is amazing, except for they do use more poisons per hectare than most other places.
Yeah, I saw that too when I was there.
That sucks.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, just huge monocrops.
Yeah, huge monocrops in some areas next to jungles.
Yep.
So anyway, it was an amazing experience. I learned what I needed to learn, and then I started recognizing what was happening in the world, and I moved home here to the United States, and I moved to Florida about 6.5 years ago.
Okay, so you've been in Florida as long as I've been in Asheville, North Carolina.
Yeah.
That's a good amount of time to grow roots. Did you move here when you moved?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because my daughter and Brian and Christy's daughter were good friends, and they're good friends, and it was a good pull. You know, plus I love the climate here.
Yeah, I'm getting there. It's taken me a while to acclimate from New Hampshire.
Yeah.
And just, I run warm. So it's taken me a while to get used to the warm, yeah. But this is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like, probably don't ever have seasonal affective disorder, any sort of mood or regulatory disorders, like mental health.
Never hear about that here. Yeah, we never hear about that here. In fact, right. I was just in Nashville, Franklin, and it was rainy and cold for those 3 days, and it happens here in Florida once in a while, but you could feel the energy go down.
Yeah.
And here it gets hot as shit in the summertime,
right?
Right? But and that's when maybe you want to go somewhere, or
right,
whatever.
That's your off season.
Yeah, that's the off season. Yeah,
yeah, it's the opposite of cold climates.
Yep.
Yeah, I could do with this amount of sunshine. It's
yeah,
absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
Do we want to play show and tell for a little while, or do you have any other lead up into what you're building?
Well, I'd say the most impressive thing is nature systems. So let's go out into nature, and then we'll run, we'll basically start at the front gate of Galt's Landing.
Yep.
This is a demonstration for freedom site. That's what this is all about. It's about living free and then sharing with the world how logical and easy it is. It's the only logical choice. You know, Bill Mollison said, though the problems of our world are increasingly complex, the solutions remain embarrassingly simple.
Yeah.
We're demonstrating the solutions so people do the same thing. Because when we achieve mass adoption of a freedom mindset in our hearts and in our minds, and using our land without poisons to do what it should do, and that's take care of us, well, then we're free.
Well, we're at the entrance to Galt's Landing, Food Forest Abundance, so I will let you explain how you designed the entrance.
All right, so this is the beginning of Galt's Landing, and we are flying under the civil peace flag. Peace is, well, peaceful sedition is simply saying, I do not comply with tyranny, I do not comply with force and violence, and I do not need your systems. Instead, I'm going to create my own system that makes your system obsolete. We're going to produce all of our own food, all of our own water, all of our own energy here on the property, and we are going to serve our community by inspiring and empowering our community to do the same. And peace is the way, my friends.
Yes. That definitely sets the tone for the entire property.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah, I had a sheriff ask me the other day, there was an event over here, and he's like, what is that, some type of protest? He didn't know that it was a peace flag.
Yep.
And so then another sheriff, friend of mine, I called him, he goes, oh yeah, I know that's a peace flag. So he had to explain to the other sheriff it's a peace flag. And that's what sheriffs, I think that's beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of sheriffs, they want to do good. They want to actually serve their oath of office. They just are so indoctrinated into the system, they don't even know what they don't know. And it's our job to help create that awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And here's another piece of awareness right here. Warning, no trespass. You can enter this property only if you have the owner's or legal occupant's written or verbal permission. And then, or a U.S. mail carrier, or you're responding to a medical or fire emergency, or you possess a valid constitutional Fourth Amendment warrant signed by a judge with proper jurisdiction, showing probable cause and the specific places or things to be searched. This is a revocation of implied license. There's nobody in the government that can just show up and start walking our land and telling us that they have the authority to do so. And this is based on case law. Mm-hmm. Now, we're going above this system because we have an inalienable right to freedom. Freedom is not given to us by anything other than our Creator. Mm-hmm. So it's our joyful duty to just be free and to demonstrate freedom. Come on in. So now, when the gate is shut, this is half of a phoenix. There's the other half right there. The phoenix represents cyclical regeneration. And that's what Thomas Jefferson meant when he said the tree of liberty must be nourished from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants, for that is its natural manure. Well, that was a war-minded sentiment, and he was in a time of war. We are also in a time of war. But the way to create true peace is not with the blood of patriots and tyrants. It's with the inspiration of patriots and the inspiration of tyrants. Tyrants can be inspired, right? And that is one of our duties, to inspire those who are currently advocating for force and violence, to show them another way. And I'm not talking about letting them off for crimes that they've committed. I'm talking about helping them see that force and violence is not the solution. And at the end of the day, it's bad for them. And we're going to hold them accountable. So their only option is a peaceful way.
Awesome.
Now, if you check out this, I just want to show you these guilds. Look at how beautiful this is.
It is gorgeous.
It's just fruit tree after fruit tree, and pineapple and society garlic and Mexican sunflower. And there's over 220 different types of food growing here already. And we're just getting started. So this is designed by Eleanor and Michael Hoffman. They are permaculture designers at Food Forest Abundance. Mm-hmm. And the design that they've put together for this, what we call a Freedom Farm Academy, is incredibly detailed and incredibly thoughtful. Down to the parking areas, every one of these spots between these rows is a parking area where you can get out of your car and you're set up with fruit trees on all sides. Isn't that cool?
That's super innovative.
Yeah.
I love
and
that.
Our fence, we're just starting, the vines are starting to come in, but this is about a kilometer long fence, about 2/3 of a mile long, and within 2 to 3 years, the whole fence will be covered with vines. We could do 500 bottles of wine off that fence a year once it gets going.
So those are grapes.
Yeah, those are passion fruit.
I was going to say, they look like passion fruit.
Yep, and then we've also got loads of grapes and all sorts of different vining plants coming up the fence.
Living fence.
A living fence. Love Every it. Fence in the world should be a food fence.
Yeah, that's such an easy one.
It's a trellis. It's waiting for food. Right. It's just waiting. You know, people see vines coming up their fence and they cut the vines. No, plant the right type of vines and then you'll have free grapes or free passion fruit forever.
I was just listening to Joe Bass and he was telling me how he uses sweet potatoes as a ground cover.
Yep.
Not for food, that's just an added benefit.
Yeah.
But to just smother out grass and everything else.
Right.
I had never thought about it like that. I always plan for it and put it in rich soil. Yeah. Apparently, sweet potatoes love neglect.
Yeah.
They just grow in dirt, basically.
Yep.
And then smother everything else. So I will now use them as cover crop, basically.
Sweet potatoes are fantastic.
Yes,
in fact, we looked at areas where we had sweet potato cover on beds, something like this, and where we didn't, and we had to weed, right? There are no weeds in nature systems except for the GMOs. Those are weeds. Everything else has a function. But anyway, where we had sweet potatoes, the sweet potatoes did exactly what Joe Bass said. They stopped the other growth because when the sun hits the soil, that's when things germinate. So by having the sweet potatoes covered, you can eat the leaves, you can eat the vines, you can eat, of course, the sweet potatoes. They're beautiful, they're incredibly nutrient dense, and they're one of my favorite crops, actually. So this literally just got put in the ground in the last week and a half. In this little area, there's over 170 different plants, all of the different fruit trees, and then around every fruit tree is a guild with all sorts of different types of plants. Some are beneficial insect attractors, some are nitrogen fixers, others like comfrey are dynamic accumulators. And when you design all of these into a system, the soil builds itself over time. The more you harvest, the more the plants grow, the more you chop them down, the more the soil builds. So while you're getting abundance from your system, the system's becoming more abundant. Mm-hmm. It's infinite that what nature can provide. You know, one of my favorite concepts and realities is you can count the seeds in a single apple, but you cannot count the apples in a single seed.
Oh,
it's infinite.
That's amazing.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So cool. Oh, so what we're doing right here is we're creating a Freedom Farm Academy.
Yep.
This is the ultimate business model in our world today. From my awareness, it stacks all of the functions. It's a mini hotel, excuse me. And the rentals, we already have people lining up.
I'm sure you do.
To rent here. And all of the food, water, and energy needs will be met on site. Plus, we're adding in the healing modalities.
Mm.
NLM water, mm-hmm. George Wiseman's Brown's gas.
Oh, yeah, you got the Brown's gas.
Yes, nice. We're adding in MedBed type of technology,
yeah.
Right? All of it, whatever makes sense. We've got humigenics for soil and for all sorts of other good things. And so we're putting it all here to make this the ultimate paradise / healing center where people can learn about abundance and freedom in such a beautiful setting. And then it becomes a business model where not only do you have all of this, the rental potential, but we are putting a school up here as well. And this school, everybody, if you've got a student and or you're a teacher and you want to be part of the solution, here's a school model that you can take and it's going to change the world. 25 kids, K through 12, Little House on the Prairie style.
Yep.
We've got all ages in one. Our curriculum is being developed with the help of Lisa Mollison, Bill Mollison's wife, Dr. Edith Mbuntu,
yep.
And Alan Campbell, and Eleanor, and all of our permaculture team, our designers. And we're designing a curriculum. The first objective of this school is that the kids become self-reliant. They learn how to be self-reliant in their hearts and in their minds and in the land.
Mm.
So they're gonna produce all of the food they need for school lunches. That'll take maximum a few months because we're giving them a head start.
Right.
Then, as soon as they've got the principles down of permaculture, they go into their family's yards and they create all of the food their families need. Then, when they're done with that, within a year, they're out into the community and they're putting food forests all over the community. And the value that they're going to create for themselves, for their families, and for their communities is going to be exponential. And what happens when we create value in a just world? We get paid for the value we create. So now they learn entrepreneurialism, the true capitalism, which is voluntarism. It's the voluntary exchange of value with no coercion, no manipulation, no secret bullshit anywhere. It's just, here's what we're doing. Society will recoup. Everybody wins.
Yeah, true free market.
True free market. And by the way, again, if you're a teacher, the teachers are going to make more, noticeably more,
yeah.
than they will in the public school. And everybody wins. Everybody wins to the max. And so if you're a teacher and you want to get with another teacher, start this model. You can rent out a churchyard or a church. You could do it at a church. And then you could turn the space around the church into the Garden of Eden. You know, you could do it anywhere as long as you have land so the students can learn about permaculture and how to be self-reliant.
That's amazing.
All right. So, and then here's where our solar panels are going up.
More arrays.
Solar arrays, yep. We've got a different array for every building.
Right.
In case we have an issue with one array, we want them decentralized. In permaculture, we learn about redundancy and having backups for backups. So we've got generators, we've got solar. We're incorporating some wind systems too eventually. And then what's going to happen, and I don't know how or when, but we're connected with Darren O'Lean. He won the Emmy last year for Down to Earth. Fantastic human being. And he's coming to market with some energy systems that'll be game changers. Hmm. Yeah. Plus, we want to produce our own biogas here as well. Yep. Biodiesel with plants.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you have everything, like you said. Full closed loop, no external inputs.
Yep. The whole works. Now, I think this is kind of fun.
So this is the runway, right?
Actually, two, right over there, yeah. So let's walk up a little bit, okay. And I'll show this gate. So about 2 years ago, when I started imagining the value to humanity for what we're doing here, I started declaring that we are going to have world leaders fly in here. We've got a runway, about a mile-long paved runway right on the other side of the fence, and there's a gate right there. They could fly in their small jets, they could park them right here, and we could have conferences on freedom, demonstrating freedom, so they could then learn the principles, and they could go back to their communities and countries, and they could spread these principles. And we've got the network to do that. The permaculture network already exists.
Yes.
So now we just help the permaculture network get busy by helping their communities grow food. It's about linking the energies together, right? So anyway, that's what the vision is. And then 2 weekends ago, we had 75 world leaders come. I was invited to be one of the strategists for a private group. There was 100 of us, Mickey Willis and Del Bigtree, Dr. Robert Malone, and Dr. Ryan Cole, Judy Mikovits, and like literally 100 people in a room that were all superstars in the world of let's help the world be free. And anyway, they all came and they spent the whole day here. And it was, I'm like, and when I was talking to them, I was like, you're already here. You just took a bus, right? Yeah. It was such a magical day. And now every day on average, we've got maybe 40, 50, maybe even more people a week now coming to Galt's Landing to see what this is all about. And by the way, this is just one place. There's permaculture demonstration sites all over the world.
Yes.
The difference is a lot of them don't talk about freedom the way we do.
Right.
And in the permaculture movement itself, you've got a divide and conquer situation just like you have for Fox and CNN. You've got some of the permaculturalists who believe in mandates and socialism, and they're missing Bill Mollison's point completely, right? Do no harm is about no mandates, no force and violence. It's about nature's systems. Well, to those permies who aren't awake yet, I invite them to wake up and start. Freedom and permaculture go hand in hand.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. So we just got our tennis court done. We literally just put the net up today.
That's
I'm
awesome.
So excited. We love tennis here. Now, this is our, we call it our logo container. Excuse me. This is going to be my studio. We're lifting that up tomorrow. And then we're going to get some vines and make it look all natural and incorporated, and that's going to be our studio where we have podcasts. And again, it's about stacking the functionality of this place to demonstrate freedom and really inspire and empower a shift in awareness that leads to mass adoption of the simplest, most logical thing we could ever do.
Yes. So in summer, maybe when I come back, or maybe not summer since it'll be blistering, but in a few months' time, I'll come back and we'll do this in front of that and see how everything has sprung up.
Yep.
Because you have so much foundation laid already.
Yeah, so much
just
is coming.
Piles of raw material everywhere.
Yeah.
This is probably the most beautiful thing I've seen in a very long time, just this landscape.
Yeah, it's very well designed.
Yes.
I mean, and there's a lot of functionality to the design. So instead of getting pavers or asphalt, we've got the seashells. So when it rains, instead of toxifying the soil, it actually adds minerals to the soil. And then on the sides here, now consider this. We just had a 40-year freeze, a 500-year flood.
What did it get down to here?
It got down to 29.
Yep.
Yeah. And a 500-year flood and two hurricanes in the last several months. And you could see that some of the crops, like these perennial peanuts, These are so beautiful as a ground cover, and they fix nitrogen in the soil, and they have these beautiful yellow flowers. So you can see that they got a little bit frozen, but no problem. They're coming back fast.
Yeah.
Yep. And then here we've got a type of guava that's very cold hardy. So when the wind hits the guava, it kind of lifts it up, slows it down a little bit. And then as we go in, we get the more sensitive tropical plants.
Yes. Provide a little wind barrier.
Yep, yeah. Exactly. So this is the start of our permaculture pathway. Last March, it's January now, last March there was nothing here but sand. It was flat sand. Come and check out what we've done since March. Isn't this amazing?
This is gorgeous.
You can see where we had a freeze. You can see where the leaves got crisped. But look at that. New stuff coming in. It's looking great. Toilet paper plant. I love these perennial spinaches. This Okinawa spinach is so beautiful and so delicious. And we've got the bananas. I find this absolutely fascinating. So the banana plant knows how much nutrients are in the soil. Its roots are down in there digging around, and we've got these systems designed with taro, and the water comes in here and it sits in the banana circle and it sinks in, and bananas like a lot of water. So their roots come down and they're like, okay, I've got enough nutrients in this soil to handle the growth of this many bananas. Now, once the soil gets more nutrients, then look at all the bananas. These are all bananas that could have been, oh, wow, and will be once the soil gets more nutrient dense. Isn't that fantastic?
That's awesome.
So within a year, the next batch, they'll probably have twice as many bananas. And then the next batch after that, probably three times.
Do you know what type of bananas those are?
We have about 13 different type of bananas. Yeah, we've got dwarf bananas, tall bananas, Cavendish bananas, blue bananas.
Ice cream bananas.
Nice. Got them all. Yes, I love diversity. Diversity is the foundation. This world, it's like a symphony. Yep. And in the symphony, you've got the different instruments. Every instrument has its different frequency. Every bug, every plant, every life form is a different frequency. And that's what makes up life. What they're doing by poisoning, and this is like a good versus evil thing. Like, this is absolutely mind-blowing. We're going through mass extinction on our planet right now. They say it's the sixth mass extinction. Frankly, I don't believe his story at all. His story is a lie. I believe our story. And our story is, let's build the systems that increase the symphony of life. Provide habitat for the lightning bugs and the butterflies and the birds and all the microbiome that makes up this incredible system.
This thing royally shook me when I first saw it. And I was like, this is amazing.
Isn't this epic? My partner, Marcel, who's an art lover and an incredible, courageous, and very smart person, he's the one that helped to fund this. In fact, he's doing such great work. He's funding Dr. Andy Wakefield's newest film. He's working with Professor Bhakti. All these major players in the world of freedom, and he said, Jim, I will spend every last dime. He's got kids, and when we see what's going on, it's time to do everything in our power to help prevent what's going on and then show another way. So he sent this over, and I just absolutely love it. This is the farmer's arm right here. And this is force and violence.
Yep.
This is authority. The most dangerous superstition, thank you Larkin Rose for pointing this out, is our belief in authority. Our belief that somebody else has the right to control my actions. That's wicked, because the wicked rise up to those places. They don't rise up by being elected in fair and just elections. They rise up by coercion and manipulation. So this is what we represent. We are the farmer. that's peacefully saying, well, in this case, very saying, no, I do not comply with any of your bullshit anymore. And the smells.
Yeah, I'm loving it.
Isn't it amazing?
In the sunset, this would cure people of so many like diseases of the soul.
Yes.
Just being here.
Yes, just being here. People are here all the time, the tears in their eyes.
Yep.
It's saying, I see it. I see the vision of the future. This is our world. This could be our whole world. Everywhere. Can you imagine if we simply took out 50% of our lawns? By the way, the lawn is the foundation of enslavement on the physical world. On the metaphysical world, fear is the control mechanism for the slave master. The number one thing that we get to do is rise up out of fear and have complete faith and courage and say, I will not comply. And do it peacefully. Say, I'm just not going to comply. If you're going to use force and violence against me because I don't obey your bullshit, your mandates, because a lot of these things that we're doing here, they're not legal.
Right.
Legal is the undoing of God's law. This is lawful. This is what is intended for us to be when we win this game. And I do believe. I believe we're spirit playing a divine game.
Well, you're winning right now.
Right.
This is winning.
What is the win? Right. The win is a mind free of governmente. Govern is to manage, control, or steer, and mente is mind. A mind free of mind control is enlightenment. And that's not a fancy thing. It doesn't mean we can bend the laws of physics. At least I can't. But here's what it does mean. I have no thoughts. When I don't want to have thoughts or when I want to just sit peacefully, I have no thoughts. I just feel and sense what's around me in the present moment. And that took a little bit of time, a little bit of energy, of a little bit of reading and silence to take the deep breath and go inside and pay attention to my breath and my heart and my stomach and just feel. It feels amazing. That's the foundation of freedom, is right here and right here. Then from there, you step into faith and courage very intentionally. And then after that, you just use your land wisely. You become a steward, like is written about in biblical and spiritual texts. We become stewards of this incredible realm we're living in. I love this.
This guy is amazing.
Isn't that?
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, look at the return on investment. And all these, they're just starting. The return, this probably cost 30, 40 bucks to put in the ground. It was that big,
yep.
Right? Now, 10 months later, it's got what? Two organic, and by the way, that organic industry is a bunch of bullshit. we don't call it organic. We
way
call
to burst it, the bubble, Jim.
Right. We call it grown without poisons.
Right. No spray or,
yeah. Right. Organic is a lie. Grown without poisons is the truth.
Right.
So grown without poisons, healthy papaya, that's got to be 200 bucks worth of papaya sitting there.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just amazing. So every single fruit tree that we plant, and not only are there 200 bucks worth of papaya, but those seeds could create 10,000 new papaya trees
right. In
within a year.
The beauty of non-sterile seeds.
Yep. We just had a bunch of kids here yesterday, and the kids went absolutely bonkers on the mulberry plant, which is what it's here for. So I was so happy to see. Same thing with the cherries. Yeah, they ate all the cherries, which is great.
As they should, yeah.
As they should. That's what they're here for.
There's one.
Otherwise, yeah, there's one. There's a couple in there. Yep, and these are perennial tomatoes, Florida Everglade tomatoes. They come in batches and waves. Sometimes there's 8 million of them, and sometimes they're hard to find. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Nice.
So delicious and nutritious. More mulberries, more cherries. Every single tree you see here, every plant is a functional plant. And imagine in the years to come.
Oh, if this is just a start, yeah.
This is just brand new. This is our babies. Most of these trees have been in the ground less than 6 months. And they just went through a major freeze in January.
Yep.
Within 3 months, you won't even be able to see from here to that building.
I was gonna say, they look like they did just fine. Ooh, yeah. That is waiting for a good time.
Yeah. Yep. And then come on over here. I wanna show you one more thing here. Oh, I love this. This is a living salad bar.
Yes, it is. That's amazing.
Yeah. And again, this is not annual planting. There's a few radishes
this
in
there. This
looks
like an arugula. Is that a radish?
Yeah, arugula. Yep, yep.
Okay.
There you go. And then now you got moringa, the tree of life.
Yes.
More vitamin C than orange, more calcium than milk, more protein than eggs. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. You put some of those leaves with some longevity or Okinawa spinach, yep, and some longevity spinach and maybe some sweet potato leaves in a salad. It's like eating sunlight.
Yep.
Freaking amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, if anyone's curious how you have this much energy and this much passion,
yeah,
eat more sunlight.
Exactly. Yes. Breathe it in. We got a bunch of different type of chickens, a couple different types of chickens. We're gonna have rabbits here pretty soon.
Nice.
We started with 7 cows and now we have 11. When we bought them, 4 of them were pregnant. We've got a little bit of energy stored here. So I love to point out how easy it is to propagate plants. All of these hibiscus and Mexican sunflower and sweet potatoes and longevity spinach, all these plants were propagated from the property, which is already a brand new food forest. It's amazing what you can do. A food forest is the ultimate stack of functions because, you know, like my buddy Chad, he's up in northern Minnesota. He's got an epic food forest. He's got 5 years in. It blows this away. And I said, Chad, what would happen if you would leave your food forest? And he said, Jim, I've been doing recon on the outside of my property, you know, over on the other properties in the forest there. And he said, I estimate that over 100,000 plants have germinated because of my food forest in the surrounding area. Because the wind, the rain, the birds, the animals come into his food forest and bring the seeds out. So think about that for a second. Wait a minute. So that means a food forest, by its very nature, is expansive. Mm-hmm. And then you look at our history. When the army came here, the indigenous people of the United States had food growing everywhere. They were stewards of the land that they didn't own. They simply stewarded and lived with and loved. And then the US Army, they killed all the buffalo. They chopped down all the fruit trees for one reason. And Kissinger spelled it out very clearly. Mm. If you want to control people, control food. Now, wait a minute. Why would anybody talk about that? Why would they want to talk about controlling people? Well, because it wasn't just the ramblings of a psychopath. It was the strategy spoken by the guy who was in charge of at least publicly implementing the strategy. Right? The same guy who met with every U.S. president, the same guy who appointed Klaus Schwab.
I didn't know that part.
Yeah.
Wow.
So when you think about if the problem, you know, in permaculture, we learn to turn the problem into the solution. The problem is what he said. If you want to control people, control food. Because what does that do? It controls our energy and our health. Yeah. And then the same entity, BlackRock and these all these entities, invest in and use the medical system to control us even further, to literally control our lifespan by controlling. It starts with the poisons and the food. Mm-hmm. So the answer to that is exactly what we're showing you today.
Yep. And people don't have to do as expansive as this. You can start on a balcony. You can start doing microgreens. You can start in your, like you said earlier, use the lawn. Like, I know some people love the aesthetic of the lawn, but it doesn't take much space to grow a tremendous amount of food.
One guild.
Right.
One fruit tree guild, or like you said, one deck.
Yep.
You can have the base for sweet potatoes or potatoes. You can grow hundreds of pounds,
right,
of potatoes on a deck. Now, Why does that matter? Well, we're in the midst of a food supply chain controlled demolition.
Definitely engineered.
Yeah, engineered demolition. What does that mean? It means that you're not going to have, a lot of people aren't going to have food in the years to come. Unless they do exactly this.
Right. Grow food everywhere.
Yep. Now, there's another civil peace flag over there.
If you were going to try to paint the vision of freedom and abundance to me, I would come up with the scene in front of me right now.
Right?
A pond, cows grazing in the background, structures going up, fruit trees, perennials, fresh water, sunset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm happy. Yeah. I'm happy to be here. You know, and that's the thing. What we're really encouraging people to do is just live free and be happy.
Yep.
Follow your bliss. Enjoy life. Jump that energy. Turn off the freaking mainstream media. That is intended to control your mind.
And you'll just gain so much time back.
Yes. Yes. In fact, if all these protesters around the world would protest by planting seeds and getting with their local communities and creating security and food systems and all that, they'd be free. All those million people protesting in Brazil, who I love these people because they're saying no, would they take that same energy and put it into the garden, into their yards?
Yeah.
They're free.
Yep.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, like you said, real hard to control people when they have direct control over their sacred life force, their necessities to live.
Exactly.
Nutrition.
So every one of these trees is a brand newly planted fruit tree.
Yeah.
And we put 14,000 fish in the pond, 7 species. We put sunnies and crappies and bass and catfish, shiners, fatheads, and mosquito minnows in the pond. We're adding, there's a bunch of snails, and we're adding crayfish as well. And now we've got an ecosystem. We've designed the pond with things on the bottom so they have structures. And then here's the best part, is we have a system down there where we take the water out of the pond, and every one of these fruit trees is on a timer, and it has a system where it gets watered 15 minutes a day from the pond water. You know, and I mean, look at this. This is just amazing. So
large-scale aquaponics.
It's large-scale aquaponics. And then the food, the fruits drop into the pond, and then the little microbiome eats the fruits, and that creates food for the fish.
Yep.
And it's like a completely self-fulfilling cycle. And now this is so amazing to me. I just learned this. This is a way to propagate and grafting. So after 8 weeks, we'll come in here with the snippers, we'll cut this off, and we'll have a new fruit tree right there.
That's amazing.
Isn't that amazing? That fruit tree within a year will be worth $50. And how long did it take us? It took us 5-10 minutes.
Yep.
For all three of these, and we've got easily $100 worth of fruit trees in a year. Yeah.
I've never seen that before.
Isn't that cool?
That's a genius.
It is.
Like you said, work with it.
Yep.
It'll do it for you.
New fruit trees coming up everywhere.
Oh, that is gorgeous right here.
Isn't that nice?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Brand new in the ground.
Peas as cover crop and nitrogen fixers?
Yep.
Yep.
Want to show one more thing.
Okay.
Here. In fact, okay, here's one. So, see this branch right here?
Yes.
So the branch, we took it, we put it underground, we scraped off the layers here, the cambium layer, past the green to the white. We simply stuck that in the ground, put the rocks around it, it's in good soil. And after 8 weeks, we could even leave it there for a year, but 8 weeks, snip this, we got a new fruit tree. Isn't that easy?
Yep.
Yeah, there's 1, 2 right there. There's some of them that have 5 in the ground. And every one has massive value.
Reminds me of Jurassic Park, the phrase nature finds a way.
Yes, yes, Goldblum, he nailed it.
Uh-huh.
Nature finds a way. Look at these babies. Look at Lily, she's being chased around
by a cow.
Lily, what are you scared of? You're supposed to be a herd dog. Look at them cuties.
What do you use the cows for? I'm assuming manure.
Yes, manure and food.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. We are looking at ourselves as the steward of this land, and these cows have an absolutely wonderful life full of
full of sunsets and fruit and
Yep.
He doesn't like the camera.
No. Cute as heck, huh? Wow. So, welcome to Golf's Landing.
Yeah,
thank you
this
for
is paradise.
Taking the tour. And if anybody out there wants to start growing food, this is really has been kind of like we feel like we've cracked the code. Yeah. We now, at Food Forest Abundance, we offer a free 30-minute food forest strategy session with a professional grower. Yep. And so anybody out there, if you've got $20 or $20 billion, and you can sign up to talk to a professional permaculturalist, and they will help you get started growing food. And really, 30 minutes is all you need. If you want to do it yourself, they'll help. If you want to speed up time, then they will also help by designing your food forest. And then if you want to speed up time even further, we will also help by installing your food forest.
Yes.
And if you really want to be a demonstrator of freedom, then take your house off grid and demonstrate freedom and create all of these other supply chain benefits for your community, which will benefit you as well.
Amazing. And my listeners will know that I'm a Food Forest Abundance partner, so my links are always in every show, always in the show notes if you want to get to you guys. If they're in the Asheville region, then I might be doing it
awesome.
For them.
Yes.
But worldwide, correct? Food
yes.
Forest Abundance is global.
Yes. Yeah, so reach out to Alex's link because we are into the voluntary exchange of value. We believe in true capitalism, which is the exchange of value.
Right.
So please go to Alex's link and sign up. And then if you're anywhere in the world, we've got a really cool network where if somebody in Australia sees this video and they want a food forest, they click on the link, they get started, and then Alex gets a commission for creating the value.
Yep.
It's freaking beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's win-wins all around. It is the model of abundance.
Yep.
Anything you want to say in closing, Jim?
Just to, number one thing is to turn off all mainstream narrative and go commune with nature again.
Yeah, get back to land.
Yep. We need several things to win this epic battle that we're in, and we need community.
Yep.
We need faith, courage. We need self-reliant systems. We need local food, water, and energy systems, and we need community.
Education.
Yes. Yeah. Education is a big part of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. You nailed them all.
Yeah.
Thanks for giving us a tour, Jim.
Thank you, buddy.